Hi, I'm Sean Owen and I'm here today at the AMI 2009 meeting in Malaga in Spain. I'm here with Dr. David Cook from the Mayo University of Rochester in America. First of all, can you tell me, David, e-learning research in health professions education has increased massively in the past few years. Can we talk a little bit about the impact this might have in medical education?
Well, sure. E-learning has certainly increased. We see ever-increasing numbers of presentations at the AMI conference year after year, increasing numbers of publications. I've tracked the number of publications over the past decade, and every year there are more than the previous year. So clearly the scholarly activity there is growing, and the work behind the scenes that isn't presented is likewise increasing, as evidenced by conversations with colleagues and so forth. So clearly it's growing. The impact it's having on medical education, I think, is at least twofold. First, there are a lot of people out there who are desiring to be more involved in e-learning activities and are wondering what will happen if I don't get involved, if I'm not involved already, why am I not, should I be, and will I be left behind, if you will. The other way that it's impacting it is these enabling of new instructional methods and the ability to reach out to learners in new ways that are really going to change medical education in the future.
We see with e-learning there's a lot of different types of methods of teaching. You know, this is social networking, virtual patients, and the list is almost endless. Do you find that these are actually beneficial to the students, or sometimes they can be a bit faddish?
Yes to both of those questions. I absolutely think that they can be useful, and at the same time, I think they definitely can be a bit of a fad. This is something we see in so many aspects of our society, that we have something new comes along, it looks interesting, and a few people become attached to it and advocate for it and believe it's the next best thing and push it, and that's great for those people and the way that they, and then they learn how to use it and they can use it very effectively, and then other people watch them use it and say, gee, I wish I could do that, I'm going to try to do that. And that's all well and good if it meets the needs of your students or whatever party you're concerned about. But on the other hand, if there's not a need for it, or if there is no concern that needs to be met, then it does become a bit of a fad, and fads don't necessarily have an inherent value. So I think that e-learning certainly can be useful under the right circumstances, and I think that it should be used appropriately, but again, I don't think that we need to use it out of the thought that it is in any way better. And so the specific methods you talked about, social networking, virtual patients, and so forth, each have their role. They each have different strengths and different weaknesses. And I think that taken together, they give us a great toolbox from which we can select appropriate tools as the need arises.
And to move on and talk about your symposium yesterday, you discussed evidence-based recommendations for best practice. Were there any key messages that came out of that?
There certainly were. In the symposium, we summarized the results of four meta-analyses and systematic reviews done in e-learning. First, comparing online learning, internet-based learning, against no intervention and against other traditional methods. Second, comparing internet-based instruction against other computer-assisted instructional activities. The third, evaluating the use of virtual patients. And the fourth, looking at animations in computer-assisted instruction. The bottom line from all of these studies is, first and foremost, is that when we teach people, they learn. In other words, if we compare computer-assisted instruction against no intervention, the results are almost unanimously that the people who received the instruction with the computer learned. And that is reassuring because it confirms to us that people can learn with computers, and that's a good thing to know. But I don't think we need any further research along those lines. A lot of studies have been done comparing computer-assisted instruction against traditional methods, and I've advocated for years that this really doesn't help advance the field, and that the results of such studies will probably, on average, show no difference because it's not the medium that matters, but rather the method. The results of the research, 76 studies in internet-based instruction, and more than almost 20 studies in virtual patients all suggest that my assumption was correct, that on average it does not make a difference whether you teach in a traditional method or with a computer. On average, the result is approximately zero in the difference between the two. Now, that is averaging across many, many studies. Some studies showed strong gains in favor of the computer, and some showed strong gains in favor of the face-to-face instruction, but on average, the result is zero. Now, that begs the question, why was there such a difference in these studies? Why did some favor the computer and some favor face-to-face? And I believe that the explanation is that these courses used different instructional methods, and that the instructional methods that were employed in one group or the other varied, and that the group that received a stronger instructional design, the stronger instructional methods, that did better in the course, which we have yet to prove. And that brings us to the next implication, which is, what are the things that we can do to improve our courses? Unfortunately, the research in medical education thus far does very little to inform that question. We, in our meta-analysis, looked at subgroups based on level of interactivity, based on the number of practice exercises, and some other instructional design parameters, and unfortunately came away with inconsistent results. In other words, there's no clear explanation from our data that would justify or contradict those hypotheses that those activities would improve learning. In the comparisons of one computer-assisted instructional intervention against another, there are few studies, but those few studies do suggest that interactivity helps, as you would expect, that feedback helps, as you would expect, that repeating learning activities over time helps, again, as you would expect. So this is not earth-shattering news. This is not a new revelation to the education community. These are things that we've suspected or known for years, but it is at least reassuring that these things do work in an e-learning environment. What I think we need to do from here on out is study more specifically these features that we believe would help and determine whether or not they really do in practice. But as I said before, the literature thus far does not help us enough in that regard. We need more research. What unfortunately we are left doing is looking outside of medical education to the vast literature that has been published over the past 35 to 40 years and looking for answers there. And fortunately we can find answers there, but again, within medical education, within our field of study, the evidence is not yet sufficient to give us evidence-based practices.
So there's a lot of work to be done in the future then.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.